photocopies? Yamuna Tira Vandasai Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hasi O Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Randana Samuya Sira Vandachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Narayanam namaskrityam Naram chaiva narottamam Devam sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udirayat Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naistaki Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om namo Bhagavate Uttamashloka Om namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jas Tejase Avirabhirbhava Vajranaka Vajradamstra Karmasayan Vandaya Vandaya Tamagrasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmane Buyista Om Crown. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Nisringadeva, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses teeth and nails just like thunderbolts, kindly drive away our demoniac desires for fruitive activities within this material world by appearing in our hearts, and drive away our ignorance so we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. And then text number 9. Yeah, you got there? Nine? Yesterday. Svasti astu vishvasya. Kala prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani. Shivam mito diya. Manascha badram. Bhajatad adoksajay Aveshitam namatir. Apiyahoy tuki. And then today, number 10. Magara. Not. House. Dara. Wife. Atmaja. Children. Vita. Bank balance. Bandushu. Among friends and relatives. Sangha. Association or attachment. Yadi. If. Syat. There must be. Bhagavat Priyeshu. Among persons to whom a Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear. Naha. Us. Yaha. Anyone. Who? Prana vritya. By the bare necessities of life. Parituṣṭa. Satisfied. Atmavan. Who has controlled his mind and realized his self. Siddhyati. Becomes successful. Adirat. Very soon. Not. Tata. So much. Indriya priya. A person attached to sense gratification. Yeah. Magaradaratmajabitta bandushu. Magara dara maja vitta bandushu. Sango yadi syad bhagavat priyeshu nah. Yah prana vritya paritushta atmaban. Siddhyati yaduranna tatindriya priya. Magara dharat maja vita bandushu. Sango yadi sar bhagavat priyeshu na. Ya prana vritya paritushta atmavan. Siddhyati adurana tatindriya priya. Magara darat maja vitta bandushu. Vapriyeshuna. Ya prana vritya paritushta atmavan. Siddhyati aduranya tatindriya priya. No? Okay, translation. Prahlad Maharaj prays. My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees, whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness. whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. So how many prayers? This week, you see right among you, you can die. So we can maybe read from the beginning, just the translations, starting with text number 8. Okay. Text number 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisingadeva, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activities in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in the material world. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. My dear Lord, I pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees, whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses, but the person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. By associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is the all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears the narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibration, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes bodily contamination and infections, this process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Therefore, who is the same man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? Yashasti Bhakti. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotional service for the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva. On the other hand, the person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and engaged in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? In the very last text, I think, here. Yeah. Just as aquatics always desire to remain in the vast mass of water, all conditioned living entities naturally desire to remain in the vast existence of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if someone very great, by material calculation, fails to take shelter of the Supreme Soul, but instead becomes attached to material household life, his greatness is like that of a young, low-class couple. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities. Therefore, O demons, give up the so-called happiness of family life and take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nrisingadeva, which is the actual shelter of fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is the root cause of material attachment. Indefatigable desires, moroseness, anger, desire, fear, and a desire for false prestige, all of which result in repetition of birth and death. And then back to the purport for today's verse, text number 10. Yeah, he prays, I don't want to be attached to house, bank balance, wife, materialistic people, but I just want to be attached to devotees and be satisfied with the bare necessities of life. Purport. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, a Krishna conscious person, he immediately said, Asat Sangatyaga, a Vaishnava Char. The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees of Krishna and who are too attached to material things, wife, children, bank balance, and so on. Prahlada Maharaj also prays to the personality of Godhead that he may avoid the association of non-devotees attached to the materialistic way of life. If he must be attached to someone, he prays to be attached only to a devotee. A devotee is not interested in unnecessarily increasing the demands of the senses for sense gratification. Of course, as long as one is in the material world, one must have a material body, and it may be maintained for executing devotional service. The body can be maintained very easily by eating Krishna prasad. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati taraham bhaktyupahritam asnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? Devotees should eat as simply as possible. Otherwise, attachment for material things will gradually increase, and the senses being very strong will soon require more and more material enjoyment. And the real business of life, to advance in Krishna consciousness, will stop. Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Vrindavan Dhamma Himamrita, the voice of Vrindavan Dhamma, he says, whenever we see good food and good drink, we should think, this is the beginning of all my troubles. But again, it's not that we should, you know, put ashes in all of our food or, you know, or something like that, you know. But Prabhupada says, one should not take too much or too little. This is universal. Everybody says it. St. Francis, San Francisco, St. Francis. He said, this body is an ass that we ride through this world, right? Yes. Don't spend all of your time taking care of an ass. Okay. Put it up on a big platform. Just see my donkey. Give a very good haircut, like that. Big badges on the donkey, like that. Bathing every day with perfume, like that. You know, you have to think about the passenger, you know. It's more important. Prabodhananda says what he says, treat your senses roughly, like a donkey, you know. Get up, go to work, you know. And yeah, and actually then the animal's happier that way, working like that. Best use of a bad bargain. Prabhupada says, this body does not get diseases. This body is a disease, right? Yes. It's like you have some cancer on your arm and you think, oh, let me decorate it. I guess it looks very nice. No, you know, there's no such thing as nice cancer, like that. Good cancer, healthy cancer, like that. You know, no, it doesn't exist. This body is a cancer growing on the soul, right? And the thing is, well, you can remove the top, okay, finished, quit suicide. But what happens? It grows back again because we haven't gotten rid of the root like that. So bhakti yoga actually means suicide, right? You know, for the material body, you know. Oh, Prabhu, I'm so tired. I've done so much service today. I can't do any more. I'm going to die. Good. Now is the time. Push. That's our whole ambition, is to finish off the body. But to finish off the body, we need the body, right? In good condition, like that. So we keep it healthy and everything else, so we can go down deeper, eliminate all these things. And the more you do that, then the soul starts to come out, you know. And then you can see that the devotional service is not being, you know, done by the modes of nature anymore. You know, it's being done by the soul itself. It's making the body move like that. You know, you have all this history of the Christian history, which is good. You don't know it, I'll tell you. Before Jesus Christ, you know, Christianity is coming off in this Jewish tradition like that. You know, and they go back a long time, and some people speculate they came from this tradition, that tradition, or whatever. But you know, but basically, it's really old. You know? And then they have their scriptures, their books. So just like Buddha appeared in the Indian tradition, Vedic tradition, so then Jesus Christ came, and always they had different problems with God. They would just disobey God, and God would chastise them. send a plague of scorpions to chase them or something. They would apologize, and then he would, you know, it's a whole history of weird stuff, you know. I remember one section. One man was traveling with his servant and his concubine, you know, like that. And they were walking, you know, through Israel, and it was getting a little bit late, and they saw one in a village, and they said, let's go there. So they walked maybe like 20 minutes, they got to this village. And, you know, and it was, they went to the little village square, the center there, and people were coming back from the fields. They were all looking at them very harshly, you know, like that, wondering what's happening. And finally, one old man came and he said, quick, come with me. These people in this village are very cruel. When they see strangers are here, they'll probably plunder you and rob you and kill you. So come to my house and I'll give you shelter for the night. You know? But somebody saw where they went. And so then people started assembling in front of the house and drinking and beating on the door. And they said, old man, send out these foreigners so we can plunder them. And otherwise we'll, you know, break your door down and kill you too. And they got more and more violent. So finally they pushed the girl out like that. And they raped her and she died. And then she crawled up on the doorstep and died like that. And the next morning the man and his servant escaped. And then they went back to their nation. And this girl had been the daughter of a great king, so he came with his people and annihilated everybody in the village, killed the dogs, cats, plowed the ground with salt, you know, nothing would grow. But they were related from another village that was more powerful, and they came and attacked this guy's kingdom. It's all in the Bible, you know. Then it says, and there was no king in Israel this year, and at that time, and everybody did just what they wanted to do. So this is, you know, the situation in which Christianity was created like that. So, before Jesus was John the Baptist. You heard his name? Okay, yeah. He was a really enthusiastic guy. He was really former, and you know, he was Jewish, but he was very following austerities and all these things and becoming so purified. And finally, he was living in the desert. And it says he was living on locusts and wild honey. So the word locust in English also means grasshoppers, you know. So they translated it as grasshoppers. but also there's a kind of bean called locust, and it kind of grows in these dry areas like that. And that's, you know, much more practical. He was living on, wild locust beans and honey like that. And you can see, actually, a pretty potent diet like that. You know? But he was just, you know, again, it's just bare necessities of life, so his spirit, soul was very animated, and he was praying everybody give up fornication and drink and surrender to God. And he was giving diksha with water. We give diksha with fire. He would immerse people like that, and he would promise and take their vows and stuff like that, you know. And so then Jesus Christ, he did his austerities for 40 days and 40 nights like that, fasting. And then the devil came and personally tempted him and said, hey, you know, I know you've always wanted this. He said, no, what about that? No, what about this? No. So he passed the test from the devil. Probably most of us wouldn't do it. The devil came. And but he didn't start preaching, you know, even though Maya Devi herself had tried to tempt him. You know. So he went to where John the Baptist was baptizing all these people, a recognized acharya, right? And he said, you must also give me diksha. You must also baptize me. And John the Baptist, because of his austerities, could recognize who he was. He knew, he always saying, this guy is coming, you know, somebody far greater than me. You know. And he looked at him and he said, look, I am not qualified to catch up the latch on your sandals like that, and to tie your shoelaces, to close your Velcro like that. And then Jesus Christ said, it's a fact. It's honest, I guess. So, but for propriety's sake, it must be done like that. Yeah. So it's an example with the disciple more advanced than the guru. But disciples, yeah, okay, but still, if everything is proper, I must also take diksha. It's a very nice, great point, you know, from a recognized acharya. You know. So then later, John the Baptist was going around because in the local king had done something. Like, you know, he abandoned his wife and married his brother's wife or something. Some real incestuous thing, you know, Herod. So then she had her new wife, had her daughter do some very since she was dancing at one festival, and the king said, oh, whatever you want, I'll give you. And she said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. He said, well, don't take that. No, that's what I want. You promised. Okay. So they cut his head off. Great place. So that was what happened to him for preaching. One time, one devotee said, Prabhupada, oh, Sankirtan is so difficult, Prabhupada, preaching, distributing books, you know. And Prabhupada was a little surprised, and he said, this is not difficult. He says, usually when you try and do this, they kill you. Like that. And that's what happened, you know. John the Baptist was killed, Jesus was killed, Prophet Muhammad was poisoned. Who else? It's a whole list. Everybody uses it. It's so common, you know. It's like that. Now it's actually some pretty good atmosphere, relatively speaking. So then later on, this whole, all these pastimes that I've come to this point was that they were coming to Jesus somehow or other, and he was talking about how they were so, they were engaged in all this religion, but it was for, you know, for selfish reasons like that, you know. And he said, you went to the desert looking for John the Baptist, and you couldn't see him because you were expecting to see a prince dressed in fine clothes like that. Sannyasi with silk dhoti and, you know, gold glass like that, you know. And you couldn't see John, who was so full of the Holy Spirit that he was like a blazing fire in the desert like that, you know, and so on. That's the point. And we become, we know artificially, it's natural. It's very natural to live a very simple life in this world and then be filled with, you know, with the Holy Spirit. You know? And the idea is that, yes, usually female body is more inclined towards ignorance and passion, like that, you know, this and that. Okay, you know, okay, it's what I got. You know? And yes, it's a fact that usually Indians are more inclined to austerities and religion than Westerners. Okay, I got a problem. It's a fact. Everybody's got a certain body and different karma like that. But Narottam Das Thakur says, if you chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter whether you're a grihastha or a sannyasi, a householder or a sannyasi. And if you don't chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter whether you're a householder or a sannyasi. So the real thing is spiritual life. You know, is varna ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanapras, sannyas. It's very good to put us in the right position. Even in sannyas, there's kudichak, bahudak, parivarjak, and paramahamsa. First off, you leave your house, you live in the, you know, in a little cabana, I used to say that, a cottage. You're the village, and you do austerities, and your family comes every day, brings you food and stuff. But you're alone a lot, and you get accustomed to it. Maybe like 7 years like that. Like that. Okay. You know. Then 7 years more, you're like, you know, start just dumping your family, but you just beg from people in the village and depend upon everybody and, you know, get rid of all your grudges against people and just see everybody in my village is like all being spiritual, so all my family. And people start to accept you like that. They go there and ask for advice. Everybody comes. You know. Then after that, you take off, traveling all over the world. Like that. You just, okay, everybody in my family. Krishna's everywhere. I know this. And then my only experience is I kind of was going through this when I was taking sannyas and I was seeing different things happening. Ooh, it was frightening sometimes, you know. But I was still, I was ready for it. He said, Krishna's there, okay. So, and then finally, when you're too old to travel, and then you stay in one place, like that, Paramahamsa, and do embrace more severe austerities, and you just preach to Madhyamadhikaris, higher devotees, and like that. And then, if you're an impersonalist, you follow this whole path, and at that point you realize, Bahunam Jamanam Mante Gyanabam Mam Papajante Vasudeva Sarvamati Sramahatma Sudurlabaha. He finally realizes that Vasudeva is the cause of everything. Krishna's behind everything. He realizes that. You know? So then he becomes a devotee. This is the Vedic path, you know, on up to becoming a devotee. So at the end of your life, when you're 97 years old, you finally become a devotee. Bhakta something. You know? Bhakta Puri Maharaj. Like that. Yeah. Radha Swami says he was in Bombay and I forgot the name of it. Chidananda Saraswati, I think like that. Came there and he'd just been doing a big, he's the head of the Integral Yoga Society. Okay, got it. He's the head of the Integral Yoga tradition, which was started by, what's his name? He was a surgeon in the British Army. A very famous guy. He wrote a book called Yogic Medicine. Somebody in Sarah's watching also. Anyway, he started this whole thing. Integral yoga means karma yoga, hatha yoga, and bhakti yoga. You want to put them all together like that. And he started his own system like that. And he has some potency, some mystical abilities and stuff like that, you know. And so, his successor at that time, it's like 5 years ago or 7 years ago, maybe more than that, maybe like 10 years ago. He was a very older person like that. So he did a big program in Bengal for maybe like about 10 days. He was very tired, exhausted. So he went to Bombay and was staying with some of his members, just quiet like that. But he wanted to talk to a disciple of Prabhupada, you know. So he came to Bombay Temple, then Radhanand Maharaj went there, and he said, please tell me about Prabhupada, you know. And Radhanand Maharaj said it was so intense, the guy, you know, much more than most devotees he ever met, just was asking questions and listening very carefully, and then like, what about this and that, you know. And then when he finished talking, maybe like, say, 2-3 hours from there talking, he said, you know, when I was a young man, I was living in Madras, and I used to go to study engineering, like that. And there was one Gaudiya Math temple there. And I would just stop because on my ride, I would go in and say a few prayers like that, you know. But one time there was one very big, powerful sannyasi giving lectures there. And it sounded like Bhaktisiddhanta, the way he was talking, you know. And he said he lectured on the Shikshastika, you know. And I said, I went every day like that. And he quoted the whole Shikshasta, all the verses like that. He said that was the beginning of my interest in spiritual activities like that. You know? And he said, Shivananda Saraswati, everything was Shivananda, yeah, Shivananda. He said, all the senior disciples of Shivananda, who was his guru and the founder of the whole mission, he said, all his senior disciples know this, like that, but it's not like something all the common followers know. But in the last days, just before Shivananda left his body, and he was getting very weak and everything else, it's obvious, you know, he called us together, and he said, I've seen Krishna, like that. You know, and he said, he's the boss. I surrendered to him. Like that. See, the whole thing, his whole life, he became a devotee. You know? And it's not unnatural in some ways. He was a very sincere person following his path. Like that. There may be some attachment, like the Bhagavatam, a little attachment, you know, like that. So many, this is the whole, generally the, and Prabhupada says in this age of Kali, it's just not possible. It's just, you know, most people aren't going to live long enough. They're not going to have the opportunity to go through all these stages. So the best thing is to take the bhakti yoga whenever you can. And by the association of a devotee, then you figure you can get to this right away. You can jump ahead to the conclusion. Okay, maybe you understand what the goal is, but you still have different attachments and different ways. Okay, so now we have to go through these things, but we know what the goal is. It's not that we're, what's the guy's name? You should know this, you're American. What's his name? Walt Whitman. A famous American poet, and a really, really renounced guy. You know? So he said, life is a road, you know, it's a spiral. I meet the same men, the same women, you know, the same problems, the same victories again and again, again and again. Life is a road, you know, going higher and higher like that. And he said, where does it go? He said, I don't know, but it goes someplace good. So he's a jnani, right? He knows he has to do austerities. He knows he has to go up. But the goal is not very clear. But yeah, there's some place good on this path like that. So many people like this, you know, this level like that. But somehow or other, if we come in contact with a devotee, then we can get this experience. You know, Brahmande Brahmante Kom. Yeah, get to see the experience like that. Jesus Christ gives the same example. You know? And it's just, so we don't exactly deserve it, but maybe we're a little ready for it, we're a little purified, and we get some experience, wow, of what it is, of, you know, pure love for Krishna with no selfish motivation. That's what I want. I want to be like that. You know, that's me. You know? And so then but now we have to go back. It's like an all-expense-paid vacation to Hawaii, right? In Hawaii, even the pigs eat mangoes. There's so many mangoes. There's no mosquitoes. It's never cold. The forests are full of fragrant flowers. You know, now, of course, there's so many tourists there. Like that. But in places like that, you know, so, oh, it's wonderful. I want to move here, you know. But you're all paid vacations over, right? So you're going to go back to work in Boise. But I want to go there, you know. So you have to, well, what is the wife? If I can work, if I get this kind of job. So you start studying a little bit, you this and that, you sell your house, this and that, you buy, investigate, you know, How much does it cost? What's the cost of living? And then finally, then you make your move like that. You know? So if we have this experience, you know, but we're still entangled with our karma, you know, like that, still basically karmis, then we're doing karma mishra, mixed bhakti yoga. You know, I have to get up in the morning. I have to channel my beads. I have to fast in the Kadasi. This is all karma. Do it. Do it. Do it. But I'm doing this because I know that I'll come to that position like that. You know, there. You know, yeah. Whereas somebody else is just a karmi. You know, like that. You know? Or maybe karma yogi, but not very clear. You know, what's going on? The goal. But if you know the goal, it's bhakti yoga. And you do that, then you start to develop real wisdom about who am I, what is this world, what is this body. You actually know these things, you know. So now, even though it's not your nature to do this, you can do it because your intelligence is so strong that you can just control yourself like that. You know? I am not a manager. It's not my nature to chastise people, put them in line, tell them what to do. You know, it's just like, but there's nobody to do it. I got to do it. Even if I'm not doing it perfectly, okay, I'll do it. You know, authority said. You know? Maybe everybody has this experience. Krishna arranges some service, which is not your karma. But you know, Krishna did this. And you can see, yeah, I'm doing it because you really investigate. You know, the temple president told me to do this. Well, he authorized. And you really, you know, get there. Okay, yeah, so I'll do it. Yeah, like that. Yeah. And then if you do that, you become more purified. Your intelligence becomes very purified. And then finally, your intelligence is so satisfied, you can actually meditate on Krishna. So, karma mishra bhakti yoga, jnana mishra bhakti yoga, dhyana mishra bhakti yoga. And of course, dhyana, we're chanting our rounds with concentration. The holy name, we're focusing on it. We're, you know, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. And your intelligence says, no, it's already taken care of. You got a schedule. Focus on this. Oh, I'm gonna do it. Okay. So your intelligence can control your mind, and we can focus like that. You know? And we focus on Krishna, then, you know, the real bhava starts to develop like that. You know? So all these different levels like that, you know. And of course, he's recommending the same point, is that if we're... The thing is kind of bizarre in the modern world, maybe not for Indians, but for... And even for Indians are coming that way, but not much less, is that actually, you know, there are... Grihastha life is not considered a family household life. It's not a source for entanglement in the material world because most people don't even come up that level like that. In the modern world, the actual statistic is something like 55% of all first marriages end in divorce, and something like 65% of all second, like that. You know? But somebody else was at our big conference in Tennessee, and somebody said, "Well, I heard it was 70%." And the person would say, "That's because they're in 70%. They're including all relationships where people are living the common law marriage. They're living together for 1 year without legally being married and stuff like that. Then they separate. So okay, they all said we're married, you know." So 70% of all relationships for men and women living together, and now people are just not even having children because they know it's too expensive and what's going to happen emotionally. So the population, U.S. American white guy population, birth rate is dropping. And there's a big study that when the birth rate reaches a certain point, dropping, then the empire is finished and it's not recoverable. Even if people start having more children again, like that, the whole thing like that. The American Empire is finished, you know, like that, yeah. And Muslim, of course, is increasing, you know, like that, you know, yeah. So it's all, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so many Arabs have moved there. No, I know a devotee is from there. He was telling us that. So many Arabs have moved there, and they have children. They get paid. They can live for free like that. So then the local people become very angry about this, but what to do in terms of the law and stuff. Yeah, that's the idea. The point is that's the whole point, you know. But then, of course, because that actually, this whole thing of marriage, the Muslim guy was saying that he was giving some quote from Muhammad that says, if you're celibate, you're not my man. A couple quotes like that. Maybe other quotes would say something else, but he was giving several quotes that there's no scope for remaining single in Islam. Everybody has to be married. But then the idea is, okay, everybody's married, every woman has four children, at least, okay. Then very quickly we're going to have a problematic situation. And, you know, what we're going to end up with is Muslims killing Muslims, which already happens like that, in places like that, where overpopulation in the desert is different than overpopulation in
in the city, in an area like Ecuador. Overpopulation in the desert occurs very quickly because there's just no food, no water, things like that. And then what happens? You get Shuni and Shea, and those following the seventh imam, and those following the fourth imam, and you start getting into it. It's not like the Muslims will take over the world. No way, forget it. Muslims is not a monolithic, you know, group. It's a very fractionated group like that, fighting each other, maybe more than Christians or something. You know? So it's just, it's a basic flaw, you know. Like that, you know? But it's a very important part, this whole point, is because it's natural. I was married. You know, my wife used to bite me. not frequently. But it wasn't her. She's actually a nice person, you know. But she actually got remarried and stayed remarried, you know. And I followed my ashram and never got remarried. But that's the whole thing, understanding your position like that, your situation, right? And then, you know, what kind of body, mind I got, what kind of karma I have, okay? And then, you know, then and use it in Krishna's service. The Prabhupada's saying it doesn't become a problem if we live simply, you know, like that. You know? And again, different people have different karma. Somebody has the king, the karma. One devotee, what's his name? So many people, their karma. They go to astrologers and stuff, and they see, like, you know, the guy that doesn't know them, and he'll tell them, oh, in your previous life, and it's just like, wow. Yeah, yeah. One devotee, what's his name? Jaramara Haridas. And his father was president of the Meat Packers Association of Spain, like that. You know, all these guys who kill all these animals, he was a president. And from that, he became a senator, like that. So he comes from, like, a kind of a, you know, aristocratic family and stuff. But when he became a devotee, the warriors were calling him and saying, oh, Jaramara, you know, you're coming here. Can you stop off at my house and pick up this and bring that? Okay, I'll do it, you know. It was all, just his whole life, he was just having to, you know, serve other people like that, you know. So he went to an astrologer, and the guy said, oh, in your last life, you left, you were like a count or a baron or a duke or something, and so many people were serving you like that, you know, washing your clothes, cleaning your fingernails, whatever, you know, combing your hair. And now in this lifetime, you've got to pay them all back. And he's like, wow. I didn't know him at all. He said, yeah, wow, this is exactly what's happening. One Mother Diana, she just loved to dress in black. You know, all the devotees would say, why are you always dressed in black like that? She says, well, I feel protected, you know. So same thing, she went to an astrologer, and the astrologer took a chart and said, oh, in your last lifetime, you were a Catholic nun, like that, you know. And they all dressed in black. So you see your karma. Everybody has their nature, right? Karma. And it may change, you know, during your life. Certain influences are there, like that. But that's bhakti yoga. Bhakti Siddhanta was saying, bhakti yoga means to understand what your passions are and use them for Krishna, right? Not that we avoid our passions. I have a passion for gardening. I have a passion for music. I have a passion for prestige and honor. Okay, become, you know, famous and honorable for Krishna. Oh, he's a, you know, GBC, PhD, what else he got? Guru, that, yes, founder of 17 temples, you know. But he's a devotee, you know. Yeah, okay. Everything for Krishna. You know? And again, not so famous, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, today's his appearance day. Oh, what's that? Alok, Bhakti Alok. You know, Achahara Prayasa, Cha. He says it's different for Grihastha than Brahmachari. You know? How many saris? I asked this question before. How many saris is too many saris? Ten. Okay. Four. Okay. What is it? No, what did it say? No. Yeah, Prabhupada says the average girl will not be satisfied with less than two or three dozen saris. You know? This is, again, materialistic consciousness. Not bad, not evil, but just... Average lady, she likes, even if she doesn't wear them, she has saris in there in her closet, like just she buys it just to, you know, just to keep it like that and stuff. Yeah. So this is, you know, what is too much? Mother Uttama from Vancouver, she said, it depends if she's a pujari or not. Because if you're a pujari, then you obviously have to have clean saris, you know. So that's the point. And if you're the wife of the mayor or something, yeah, then you've got to have, you know, silk saris and dress like this and that. I know one girl, she's from South Africa. She married a devotee in Ecuador. And he's rich, you know, has a big house, servants and stuff like that. But very nice. He takes care of everybody and helps the devotees. But she says her nature is just to be so simple, austere, when she came there, she became this, you know, lady of the house with this rich guy, and she loves her husband. Everything's very nice, you know. But she said she just has to have clothes and this kind of stuff and go to these parties and sit there, and it's just like such a, you know, an austerity for her. It's okay, she can do it, but it's just not her nature, and she does all this stuff, you know. So we find out what our karma is, right? You try different services, right? You chant Hare Krishna, you talk to other people, you go to a psychiatrist. There's many tests, actually vocational interest tests. I took one. It wasn't vocational ability test, but was a vocational interest test. And they had all these things. You have the same interest as this, you know. And the very lowest one was banker, like that. So the first job I got when I moved into the temple was a treasurer. You know? And I could see, it was just like Krishna had done this, just to put me in a position where whatever I was doing was bhakti. I had no interest whatsoever in the money. I was sitting there like for hours sometimes looking at all this money, you know, like that, trying to get the energy hot to sort it out, put it in the thing. And I would go to the bank. One time I went to the bank, was it during Christmas Marathon? It was like with $35,000 in cash, which nowadays would probably be something like about at least $100,000 in cash, you know, as long as it's that. Yeah, because $100 bills and stuff like that, you know, it was like bags, you know. And then no coins, you know, because Christmas Marathon was collecting so much. You know? And then I had like holes in my pants as brahmacharya, and one dhoti or two dhotis, or 2 days went with holes in them, you know. I just had no interest, you know. Well, I'll take a little bit, you know, $1. Okay, maybe peanut butter and chocolate or something. Okay. But that was it. That was the entire limit of my, you know, lascivious life was, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups or something. You know, I was so embarrassed about that. First coming, I was so addicted to, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups or something, you know. So I told temple president like this and that. And he kind of looked at me like, he said, hey, every endeavor has some fault. You know, go back to work, you know. You know, because everybody, he was attached to power, you know, prestige and stuff like that. So, yeah, everybody, you know, is like that, you know? Yeah. So, what is my, use it, then, Prabhupada says, and connect it to Krishna. And then by that, we'll become purified. We'll understand that what I really want is Krishna, you know? And I'm relating to him through my natural desires and just glad, but Krishna reciprocates. And Bhagavad Gita explains that. He wants something, we do something, but when Krishna reciprocates, he supplies it, he withholds it a little bit unnaturally, and then when we get it, we're very thankful, we realize, oh, Krishna did this, and we don't really deserve it. Anyway, experiences like that, you know. And then you actually realize, well, what I really want is actually Krishna, that reciprocation with Krishna, that's the thing, like that. And no matter what I have to do, I'll do that. You know? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, everybody be advised. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has got a taste of what Rupa and Raghunath were tasting. And so at this point, he's become an addict, right? Asaktis, Ruchi, Asaktis. And he'll do anything to get that. He'll sell his grandmother to the devil. anything. So don't trust Bhaktivinoda Thakur anymore. He made his notification like that. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has become a completely addicted. Asaktis and attached to what Rupa and Raghunath were tasting. So that's one point, our level. Then one Christian guy was being cooked by the atheists on a barbecue, and he said after some time, he said, you know, I think I'm done on this side. You can probably turn me over now. Like that, you know? So that's detachment. It's like that. So yeah, that's asaktis. You're attached. Doesn't matter what you have to do. You know? So we're whatever position, externally, everything like that. Okay? Yeah. So then, yeah, we have to be careful of these things. If we use it for Krishna, no problem. But, yeah, there's a tendency for Grihastha Ashram to become attached, you know. Prabhupada says a sannyasi may become attached to his suitcase, his shoes, a few things, a certain temple, a few things that are the possessions of a sannyasi. But he said in Grihastha Ashram is so much more stimulation like that. My house, my car. I know one very nice brahmacharini in Chile, and she married the president, very nice devotee, and she said she just couldn't believe it. When she got married, all these desires started coming. She was looking at her husband thinking, well, now I can have a car, and I can have a house, my own house, and she said, just couldn't believe it. She had no desires like this, you know? And then when she started getting married and associating with husband, opposite sex, and it just started coming like that, you know, couldn't control it. Yeah, yeah. So that's the whole thing, is grihastha ashram is ashram, you know. And even still, the idea is to live as simply as possible, like that. Yeah? Yeah. But, okay, what's possible? it's just somebody realizes, you know, this is not possible to live that simply. My karma is just too strong. One time I did Sunday feet, so it was in our temple in San Francisco, a little temple, and I was doing the noon offering. Somebody else had cooked a nice offering like that. And I knew that after the offering and everything, the Arctic, I was going to eat too much. I was more than I should. I was just, you know, so I was praying when I was doing the offering and making the offering. I prayed the offering with the most best consciousness I could. Is it for you? I did the Arctic. Afterwards, I came off. I cleaned the place very meticulously, so I would, you know, everything like that. Then I followed all Prabhupada's advice about how to limit your eating, and still, you know, praying, I ate too much, you know, like that. You know. But Krishna could understand. You tried your best. You know, I know you tried your best, like that. And so my body had acid indigestion, but I didn't suffer. You know, my body suffered, but I didn't suffer. I wasn't identifying with it, you know, because Krishna said, yeah, I understand. You're doing your best, like that. And so, okay, let brother ass, brother donkey, get the results for his activities. And yeah, brother donkey learned something from that. You know, yeah, your body learns. You know. And so it happens. We all have our karma, and you see that. And sometimes, okay, I can do something. Sometimes, no, forget it. This is just like, oh, yeah. Well, the devil made me do it. You know, no, you could have controlled yourself like that. Yeah, yeah. You know, like that. So there's the point. It's a very subtle thing in devotional service. When I'm being lazy, and this, and when I'm actually trying my best. And that's why it's a whole thing. In many years of experience, I'm trying like that. And reading Prabhupada's books, and so many details he gives like that. And you can see, okay. And it's a matter of fine-tuning. No? Yeah, fine-tuning. Until we get it down, you know. You know, so we can... You can ride your bicycle, but then okay, you got to learn how to ride, you know, ride a motorcycle. You got to learn how to ride a car, and you got to learn how to ride on the freeway. And then it's just, you know, finally before you can go back to Godhead, right? You have to control your senses. Krishna is conquered by the love of one who has controlled his senses. Okay, so any comments, questions? Is Gopi going to become a sannyasi? What are examples of sannyasis amongst women? Ladies. What are examples of renunciation amongst ladies? Prabhupada mentioned follow Bhishma Dev like that. So what are some examples that ladies should follow of renunciation? What was her renunciation? Yeah, for every Maha Mantra, she didn't chant on Japa Beach, she would chant. Every Maha Mantra she would chant with one grain of rice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And at 2 o'clock, whatever she had, she would cook and eat. One time I measured 64 rounds. It's about like, it's just not a, about this much rice. 64 rounds, like that, yeah. And so, you know, if you're chanting 64 rounds a day, you're going to probably starve to death slowly. You probably get a chance. At least 64 rounds, you know, to survive. And she was always very skinny. And then the Nimaya of Nadia movie, yeah, it's very, you know, very sad. You know. Whole thing very intense like that. Of course, you know, she was enjoying it too. Separation. And she thought Lord Chaitanya was going to take sannyas, and something's going on like that. She was how old? Yeah. She was 16. Yeah, yeah. Very, very young, you know. And she said, I think you're going to take sannyas like that. So she said, so if my body is the cause of you having to take sannyas like that, then let me look at your face one last time and take poison and die, so you won't have to leave all your friends like that. And he said, no, it's like, I'm not going to do that. And that, you know, that night, he escaped like that and left. So in the Nimai of Nadia movie, he comes back one time to Vaitacharya's house. They say, everybody come, and Mother Sachi's going there and everything else like that. And then Mother Sachi says, oh, come, hurry up, we're going to see Nimai. He says, well, I can't go, you know. Sannyasi kisses his wife. And he says, in this incarnation, everybody will see you. You're so merciful. Everybody except Vishnu Priya. So she was the only person who couldn't see him like that. The most degraded animals and beasts and everything else could see him like that. Of course, you know, it's a great enjoyment like that. You know, enjoying the separation. someone like that. Yeah. No, but there's probably gives up letters like that. He said, yeah, because it's Westerners, they don't know what the standard is. And Prabhupada's an Acharya, he's establishing the standard. So Prabhupada said that he said, no, you cannot, can't associate anymore like that. He's taking sannyas. You can't talk. You can't be together. But he said, no, in a lecture with many people right there, yeah, you can sit there like that, you know, stuff. You know, maybe not so. Not way in the back, you know, not like, you know, in the front row like that. Yeah, so probably established that standard, you know. Yeah, yeah. But of course, yeah, Lord Chaitanya was, you know, more strict, you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I saw one translation about, it was about his name. Oh boy, Duki Krishna, Shamananda, and she was present and describing her, and it kept saying that she took bath in warm water. I don't know. So, Prabhupada said they give him a kind of body, you know, stuff. You know, and she would always travel with her sons. But actually, I remember now. It says that when Narottam Das did the first Gorpanim festival. He arranged it very nicely. He had many Paramahamsas there. They installed Radhakrishna deities to go for preaching in different places. And Janava was there. and it said she had made a separate little pavilion for her with like a silk, you know, covering like that so she could see everything with her associates and stuff like that. But then she would be like, you know, a little bit, you know, separate like that, part of it. You know. But it says that she was very pleased with Narottam. And she never said anything in the whole program because she's a lady, you know. But it says, by staring unceasingly and unremittingly into the eyes of Narottam Das Thakur, she empowered him with superhuman shakti to spread the bhakti cult. Just by her glance, you know, like that. In the Bible, it's nice when it says, young girl, she says, I was a young girl, virgin, and many men wanted me, like that. But, I stood against him like a wall. With that, you know? Until finally I saw the one I wanted. And with one glance, I won him. And that's a lady's dharma. It's different. It's very different. You know? But not smaller at all. It's just different. Like that stuff. You know? Prabhupada says women as a source of inspiration for men are more powerful than men. And therefore ladies have to learn how to control this by chastity and shyness. Otherwise, they create the situation hell beyond belief. Like Lady Macbeth, she went nuts because what she'd done like that, you know, because she couldn't control her desires for prestige. You know? In the end, she was just being psychotic. You know? Yeah. Okay, Janava, another example of chastity amongst women. Yeah, Gandhari automatically. Yes. Yeah. Any more? Draupadi. She, I don't know, she kind of fell down. She you know, gave more affection to Arjuna, but, you know, like that. But I think she's also included as one of the, was it, there's Gandhari, I think she's included. Well, no, she's not included in the, was there five chaste women? So one of them is, okay, there's Sita, yeah, in the same pastime was one of the other ones. Mandodari, her father is Vishvakarma, yeah. 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 Ravana wanted her. Vishnu Karma said, "You can't have her." And she ran up and said, "Daddy, look, you know, he's going to kill you and kill all my brothers and take me anyway. So give me in charity." And she took it as a fair deal. Now, he didn't kill my family, and so she took it. Yeah, fair deal. So I'm going to do my part and be a chaste girl. Yeah. And as soon as he brought Sita home, she looked at her and she told him, "Take her back." Because she could understand immediately what is the position of a chaste lady like that. Yeah, you know, she'll destroy everything. You know? Yeah. Madhodari, Sita, Ahalya. Yeah, she was the wife of... Anasuya. Ahalya was the rock?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I wonder how she could be an example of chastity. Okay, Anasuya. Yeah. She was the wife of Atri? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No? Missing two more in this somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. Radharani. That's the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so it's the whole Dharma. And the Bhagavatam gives many nice examples like that. And then that's how, you know, to execute Grihastha Ashram. And many examples in our culture of husband and wife being very like Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar, right? The Bhagavatam. He and his wife, he was, what does Kolavecha mean? There's no Bengalis here. Maybe banana skin. Yeah, a little banana grove. He was making cups like that, you know, paper plates. And he and his wife, they were being very simply, like a Sudama Brahmana, same thing. And but she was also, they were both absorbed. They were used to be Bhagavatam at night together and just be in ecstasy and reading it together and stuff, you know. So everybody's different. Sometimes the husband's more advanced, sometimes the wife is more advanced. It's just everybody's different. And so many stories. And but Prahlad Maharaj, who's a Grihastha, right, is telling this. The second time it says materialistic family life, you know, like that. I think it's being strong here. This is fifth canto. Just like the sauce here is that, well, my family life is not materialistic. But one devotee says, I was in Berkeley in San Francisco. He suggested to his wife that they're both getting a little older. Now let's start living vanaprastha, live back in the temple and become pujaris. And he said that she's just like, she's like almost hitting with like, you know, the kitchen pans in the head like that. Just like that, you know, giving up her house and living in a temple, you know, this kind of stuff. And wow. So it's a whole thing. We think we're very renounced, you know, until we start to do some austerities and we see, wow, you know, I'm actually pretty attached, you know. Like that. So austerities are good. Vanaprastha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Grihastha Ashram is preparation for Vanaprastha Ashram. Okay. One last thing. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Yeah. Text number 11. Does this remind you of one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Maybe by Narottam. Oh my God. Is it... I can't believe how it starts like that. It's one song. I can't believe it was like... Huh? Number 11? Is it Vaishnava Thakur? No. No. The Ganga. Other things there too. What's that song? I can't remember how it goes. Anyway, if it's night, we can discuss that. That one song. I think it's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It says, Gangara Parashe. No. Pashtate Paman. Darshani Pavitra Hoya. Ebaro. Ibaro Koruna Koro Vaishnava Gosai. That's Narottam, isn't it? Yeah. What part of him that goes higher? Like that. Radha Krishna Prana Mor Yuga Lakishwar. Okay. That's Narottam Das. But it's almost the same song is almost identically matching that verse like that. Yeah? Sometimes you find it's what happened. The acharyas are just taking a song, a shikshastika or something, and make it into a song. I said, oh, wow. So I think preaching is just presenting the acharyas. So, any final comments? Yeah.
You have to exist or it doesn't matter which ashram you're in, you have to be always ready for the exit strategy.
Yeah.
You know how to get out. That's more important.
Yeah.
As important as maintaining it, is to know how to get out. Otherwise, it's...
No, Michael Phillips. Michael Phillips. he's a big banker, you know. And then he became a Buddhist. And I took one of his courses on management. He had three courses, very simple courses like that. And he said, like, he was describing how to maintain run a small business. For him, a small business was $3 million a year, family with four employees, like that, you know, $4 million a year. And he said most businesses like this, you know. And so he had very wonderful ideas. I've used it many times in organizing stuff, my life and everything. But one of his things was, is when you write the contract with somebody else, some of the most important things is the exit clause. And if this doesn't work out, what's going to happen? For example, we're going to have a carpentry shop together and make cabinets and stuff. okay, who gets the tools? What happens to this? See, otherwise, the anxiety is there about, you know, unless you're getting frustrated and you just blow up. You know, so, no, you know, okay, you know it's going to happen and we're having difficulties and it's okay, you know, like that. So, but yeah, the whole purpose, like you say, it's not happy. We'll not be happy, happy in Grihastha Ashram. But you realize, yeah, this is going to take us to Vanaprastha. And in Vanaprastha, he says, his purpose is going to sannyas, and sannyas will take us back to play with Krishna, all of us together playing with Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Prabhupada says that old age is a good friend for a devotee. No, because it is. And the devotee, he appreciates all these things, all this suffering, austerity. No, it's nice. It's nice. It's pushing. My tooth fell out there. You know? I didn't fall out. Dr. pulled it out. But after many, many years, it got infected. And so somebody said, oh, you should get like this. Actually, in Russia, they gave me like this artificial tooth. You couldn't distinguish it. And I was thinking, what's the use of this? I'm trying to like pretend to people that I have got all my T's. No, I should be, you know, preaching like that. Then I lost it, and we looked and could not find it. It was ridiculous. It was just in one room like this big, and it just disappeared. And it was like, Krishna, yeah. Okay. It's like, yeah, wow. So yeah, we should, you know, devotee is very happy when these things are happening. You know, one of my teeth has gone back to Godhead. You know, he thinks like that. The dentist, actually, a devotee, he's visiting. He's a he's not initiated, but he's a devotee, you know, Indian. His name is Dinesh. Dinesh, the dentist. So I was saying, there's a sore like that. He's wobbling. He said, yeah, probably, okay, I'll get some time. Come on. He's going to the x-ray. He said, yeah. But, so how long? I said, what do you mean? It's 8 years. He said, wow, okay, you're doing good. You know? So he pulled it out and stuff. He said, you're the first person I've ever done with who's been laughing about this whole thing and everything else. All my patients are attached to their teeth and everything else. He said, the first time I've ever, like, taken tooth out from a devotee and you're actually talking about going back to God and stuff. You know? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's a whole purpose of the material world, again, is to suicide. And, you know, and it usually takes us, you know, 100 years to do it, to do it, you know, thoroughly, you know, to give up everything. Again, in time of death, Prabhupada says your face will cease to exist and will never exist ever again. I'm reading that, I was kind of looking in the mirror, and I was like, yeah, I'm attached to my face. It's kind of like, as you get older, it changes, and you kind of look in the mirror, and you realize, hey, where did this face come from? You know, it's like, you can't identify with your face so much anymore as you get older, like that. You know? It's like, you know, but still, it's mine. You know? And so yeah, I realized, wow, we're attached to our personality, you know, and who we are, and it's very subtle, like that. Yeah. And so yeah, it's the whole thing is, you're right. It's we're thinking, inner Grihastha Ashram. I think it was Amrita and Ravi, Radhika, and they both thought it was stupid. And they're both coming in devotional families. They're both thinking, getting married is stupid, you know. But we're attached, and we have to do it. They're looking at each other, you know, you're always stupid. Yeah, I know it's stupid. But we have to do it. Yeah, yeah, okay. So, okay, horrible, get married. Yeah, okay. But they're not. They're not like, neither one of them is thinking that, oh, we're going to be happy together and this and that. So they're both thinking, probably we're going to suffer and everything else, but... You know, okay, let's do it, and we can be devotees together and do a lot of service like that. Yeah, but you know, we both have our doubts about this. You know, serious doubts. You know. So that's the difference. You go into the Grihastha Ashram, and I know.
So did,
yeah, yeah. If you're not attached, you can't do the job. You can't. No. I told you about Ananga Manjari, right? Her, Daniela. She was an Indian girl, a Peruvian girl. Mother, you know, father controls you completely. Okay, yeah, yeah. And so finally she got married to get out of the house and be free. She had her baby, brought Daniela home. And the third day she's, you know, nursing her and changing the diapers and everything else. She's looking at the baby there. And she's thinking, God, I'm more trapped now than I was. You know, she told me this. And then it's like, you know, this feeling like, you know, and the baby could... You know, feel this, you know. So the baby started crying, you know, you know. And she said that what it was like the baby was saying, Daniela was saying, you know, hey, but what can I do? You know, I'm here, you know. I can't change the situation. I'm here. I'm completely helpless like that. You know, what can I do, you know? And so she was crying like that. And she said, Ananda Manjari said, at that point, this consciousness just descended upon her. I am a mother. He also just came down like, you know, like that. And so that's what happens. Until you can't do the job unless you think that your family is real. If you think it's your wife, there's a bag of pus, stool, blood in your friend, or your husband. Rukmini says that, right? Rukmini says that my wife should think her husband is a bag of pus, stool, blood, and urine, decorated with a mustache. You know, if you think that, you're not going to be able to do the job. You know, so it's very natural. Brother says it's very natural to like your friends, your family, but as long as it's in proportion, it's nothing wrong with it. It's actually correct, because then you can. It's devotional service. Krishna's here. I like my temple. I like the deities. I like my doing. Yes, that's okay. It's wanting to go to back to Godhead in that situation is wrong. That's his Godhead, right? Yeah. But then, yeah, we're progressive like that, you know. And, yeah. Okay. So, Papa, good job. We're here. Come on, talking forever. So, yeah, one more class.